that I have trod has brought me nearer God, though oft it led through sorrow's gates. Though not the way I'd choose, in my way I might lose the joy that yet for me awaits. Submission to the will of Him who guides me still is surety of His love revealed. My soul shall rise above this world in which I move. I conquer only where I yield. Not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go. For who am I that I should choose my way? The Lord shall choose for me. 'Tis better far, I know. So let Him bid me go or stay. That's the words to a song that was sung at our wedding on August the 16th, 1963. It was not part of the plan. We had already finished the rehearsal, and we were just around the piano and organ singing just for the enjoyment as we were thinking about the wedding the next day. Someone sang this song, and I looked at Odessa and she looked at me, and without saying a word, we knew we wanted it to be a part of our wedding. She had an aunt who was the director of the wedding. She wasn't an aunt, she was an aunt. Do you know the difference? There's a big difference. And she said, the programs have already been printed. You cannot change the program. You cannot add something now. It's impossible. I looked at her, and as graciously as I knew how, as a 21-year-old young man, I said, this is our wedding. We appreciate everything you've done, but it is our wedding, and we're going to have this song sung at our wedding. Then after that, we lived the rest of our lives together, seeking to live up to the words in that song. We used to sing it together on the chorus. She would sing the first phrase, not where I wish to go. And then I would sing the second phrase, nor where I what I wish to be. And then we would say, for who are we that we should choose our way? If I could say anything from my heart to everyone here, and incidentally, we primarily think of young people giving their lives to missions. But if you're still here, God has a plan for the rest of your life. You can't go back to yesterday, but you can be faithful today, and you can move into the future doing the will of God for the rest of your life. If you could say in your heart, not what I wish to be, not where I wish to go, let the Lord make the choices as to how you live, where you live, what you do, how you give, every part during this week of conference. If you could say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Incidentally, crossing an ocean doesn't turn anybody into a missionary. If you're not willing to cross the street, you'd better not cross the ocean. Let God use you where you are. And then let Him place you where He wants you to be for the rest of your life. Mark 16 and verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is a pretty demanding command. And He's talking to you. Go ye into all the world. The Bible will never mean what it really needs to mean in your life until you make it personal. Let it be a personal message to you from God. And when the Lord Jesus Christ said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, which we usually leave out in missions conferences because of the fear of one little phrase that God put in there. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, because there are false teachers that say that means you have to be baptized in order to be saved, it does not mean such a thing at all. It simply means you have to be saved before you can be baptized. Baptism has no merit except that it is a public act of obedience in following the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Isn't it marvelous to be saved? We sang together today, and I appreciate your singing. I love vibrant congregational singing. Don't ever lose that. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Tell the news to every land. But then the next phrase says, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Eternally damned. Is it not urgent that we get this gospel message to every person on the face of this earth? In your hymn book, there's a hymn, page 536. Don't get nervous, Pastor. I don't normally preach from the hymn book. But if it's a good hymn, you should be able to preach it. I get tired of the little ditties that are sung over and over and over again. If it's a good hymn, just like the one we sang, So Send I You, you could preach every verse of that song. And what I'm going to do is preach every verse of this hymn in a different way. And I trust it will challenge your hearts as we begin this missions conference. Oh, Zion, haste. Thy mission high fulfilling, to tell to all the world that God is light. That He who made all nations is not willing one soul should perish, lost in shades of night. You see, the first thing we have to do is to perceive our mission. Why are we here? You see, the mission is the Great Commission. Our Savior's last command should be our first priority. We must perceive our mission. It's a high mission. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. It's a mission that demands haste. It's an urgent message. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. 1,000 souls a day are passing one by one away in Christless guilt and gloom. What wilt thou say, O Church of God, when in that awful day, Judgment Day, I charge thee with their doom? We have the responsibility. We have the urgency. We have a mission. We must fulfill our mission. I praise God. You talked about 60 years. It was 60 plus years ago as a little 12-year-old boy that I yielded my heart to be a missionary. Don't ever underestimate the working of God the Holy Spirit in the hearts of little children. I heard it mentioned in Sunday school that we fail to nourish those decisions. Bring up a child in the way that he should go is, of course, primarily to parents, but it's also to churches. We have a responsibility. We can say, oh, that's cute. As a little child, they've given their life to the Lord. But if we will treat them correctly, we can help them to be nurtured and developed into what God wants them to be. And that's very urgent. Proclaim to every... I'm sorry, I'm skipping a verse. The second verse is, behold, how many thousands still are dying, lost in the prison house of sin, with none to tell them of the Savior's dying or of the life He died for them to win. He died to win life for everyone who will believe. You see, we must not only perceive our mission, we must also be ready to ponder the multitudes of this world. Multitudes. There are now 7.7 billion people on the face of this earth. In less than 20 years, there will be 10 billion people on the face of this earth. We have been commanded to get the gospel to every one of these people. It is an urgent thing that we must do. We must ponder the multitudes. All the souls that now are dying in the lands across the sea who have never heard of Jesus, who means much to you and me, haunted by the evil spirits, bearing heavy loads of care, thinking only of appeasement, living, dying in despair. Oh, they have gods with eyes that see not, and gods with ears that do not hear, who their prayer can never answer, who cannot dispel their fear. We have an urgent mission to fulfill. We must ponder the multitudes of this world. when Jesus looked on the multitudes, always He was moved with compassion on them. We need to ponder the multitudes of this world. Most who have never had a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must not only ponder the multitudes, but we must also proclaim the message. The message that we must proclaim. Proclaim to every people, tribe, and nation that He in whom they live and move is love. Tell how He stooped to save His lost creation and died on earth that men might live above, down from His glory. Ever living story. My God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. Born in a manger to His own, a stranger, a man of sorrow, tears, and agony. We must proclaim the message that He would have us give to the world. In Japan, when we witness, we don't start with the Romans Road. They would have no earthly idea what you were talking about. We start with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven, everything in this vast universe, and the earth. This tiny little sphere in God's vast universe. And yet it had a special place in the heart of God. We don't know why, but He also created man in His own image. In the image of God. He said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion. That's an amazing phrase. The Almighty, all-powerful, sovereign God said as He conversed with Himself in the equal Trinity that was talking together. One God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. And He said, let us make man. Different from all other creation. Let's make man. Let's make him in our image. And let's do something. Let's release the dominion of the earth and give it to man. That's why, and excuse me for saying so, when someone tells me, do you believe in the sovereignty of God or do you believe in the free will of man? My answer is always yes. They say, how could God be sovereign and still give man a free will? Simple, He's God. I probably couldn't do that. You couldn't do that, but God can. And God is so sovereign, I resent being accused of not believing in the sovereignty of God. If I didn't believe in the sovereignty of God, I could not have been a missionary for close to 52 years. God is in control. But He gave me as His creation dominion over the world around me. And I am responsible for every decision that I make. Now, I don't hinder the plan of God, but I can disobey the plan of God for my life. God said, let us make man in our own image. So, In Genesis 1:27, God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Even if you think you're not one or the other, or if you think you're not the one you are, and you think you're different, God didn't create mankind in that way. He created male and He created female. Now sin has done horrible things. The depravity of the human race has driven us into sins that we cannot comprehend. But God loved sinful man. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Thanks be to God, 2 Corinthians tells us, for His unspeakable gift. When we talk about giving in missions conferences, we should always remember how much He gave for us. And then we should be willing to say, Lord, what would You have me to give? And incidentally, He does know what He wants you to give. To get the gospel to the world. And if you ask Him, God the Holy Spirit, who indwells you, can impress your heart about how much He wants to give you to give each week for missions through Cross Point Baptist Church. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when I began witnessing to a Japanese who's never heard of the Creator God, I start with Genesis 1, and then I move to John 1, and I'm able to tell them, you know, in the beginning was the Word. That's another name for God. And He was with God and He was God. And He made all things. And without Him was not anything made that was made. He is the Creator God. And this Word, who is the Creator God, who was there in Genesis 1:1, is the same God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. All the rest of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there was one who manifested in human flesh the glory of God. In absolute sinless perfection. And then because of His grace and His mercy and His great heart of love, He willingly became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He didn't just make us righteous. He is our righteousness. I got saved at 11. Surrendered my heart and life to the Lord at 12. And I'm not boasting, but I can honestly say that I have tried for all of my life. I'm now almost 75. To do what God wanted me to do. But even as I say that, I would not trust the best 30 seconds of my life to get me into heaven. I don't deserve it. But He is my righteousness. And remember the voice that came down from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son. In Him I am well pleased." You see, God looked over the whole earth, and I think maybe He was looking for a substitute so that He could redeem mankind, the world that He loved. And His conclusion was, there's none righteous. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I believe that Jesus Christ, God the Son, said, I will become flesh. I will be willing as God, the eternal God, who is omnipresent, to limit myself. And incidentally, He had to limit Himself. Nobody else could limit Him. But He limited Himself and became a little baby. And He became what the Scriptures call the last Adam. The first Adam created a mess. But the last Adam, in Adam, all die. But in Christ, all are made alive. And He became flesh. He dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. And then He hung on the cross of Calvary and died in our place. He stooped. No one has ever stooped further. No one has ever come down any further. And then He died on earth that man might live above. That's the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and He rose again the third day. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, and also to the Japanese, and also to the Germans, and also to the Canadians and the Ethiopians, and I could go on and name every nation on the face of this earth, because in Matthew He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Every nation is in God's plan. And He wants us to go to every nation. He wants us to go to every person in every nation. And He wants us to go to the uttermost part of the earth. We must perceive our mission. We must ponder the multitudes who are bound for eternal damnation. And we must proclaim this marvelous message that we have to proclaim. It is a marvelous message. Do you realize that when we preach the gospel to anybody, there's power in that message to give them the forgiveness of sins, to give them eternal life? It's a powerful message that we must proclaim to every people, every tribe, every nation. No one should be left out. No one is so evil that they are not loved by a God who is actually love. God is love. And then the final verse of that song is, give of thy sons to bear the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. O Zion, haste. Give of thy wealth. You say, I'm not wealthy. I can get out of that one. But if you could walk with me in some of the places on this planet that I have walked, you would suddenly feel extremely wealthy because of the blessings God has given to us who live in the United States of America. Incidentally, we need to pray for our nation. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. And our land needs healing more than it has ever needed healing. Now, the polls are not the answer, but the polls are an opportunity to express. And I know that we don't always have the opportunity to vote for someone that we think would be a marvelous, godly president. But we need to look at issues and see where they at least say they stand. Now, I realize that they may not stand there when they get into the office. We've been betrayed before, haven't we? But at least they say that. Abortion is still murder. Sexual sin is still sin. And we need to look before we vote. And that's a different subject. But give of your sons and your daughters. And now when you get to my age, Pastor, I think give of your grandchildren. Have you ever in your heart said, Lord, I give my children and I give my grandchildren to you to go where you want them to go, to do what you want them to do. Lord, I give them to you. I think that would be a good decision on this first service of the Missions Vice Conference, to give those who are the dearest to you. God gave His only begotten Son. Are we willing to give of our sons and our daughters and our grandsons and our granddaughters and the people of our own church? And above all, are we willing to give ourselves to the Lord? That's where it starts. Those marvelous verses on faith promise in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 begin with the example of the Macedonian Christians who first gave themselves to the Lord. And then after that, they gave all they could. They gave to their power. And then lo and behold, they do like we've done. They gave beyond their power. They gave more than they could. That's what missionaries do. God sends us to the mission field, and He does with us what we could never do ourselves. But we must be willing to submit. Because we do, as His creation, still have the dominion over our own lives. And He won't arbitrarily force us to do anything. We have to yield. And we conquer only where we yield. The church must produce missionaries to send. That's why I commend Christian schools. Christian schools and church youth departments should be factories for manufacturing missionaries that would go all over this world. Churches are training stations. Yes, it's good if they go on to good Bible colleges. But the real task of reaching the world for Jesus Christ is not with Bible colleges. And I was the director and president of one for 33 years in Japan and have started seven other, or helped start seven other Bible colleges around the world. But that's not the answer. It's the local church doing what God has placed them here to accomplish. Oh, Zion, haste your mission high fulfilling, to tell to all the world that God is light, that He who made all nations is not willing even one should perish, and yet they are. All over this world, people are perishing in their sins. Many of them because they will not believe. But even more of the multitudes cannot believe because they've never heard. And how will they be able to hear without someone to tell them? And how can people go to tell them unless somebody sends them? That's the task of mission. 60 years of being involved in sending missionaries is commendable, but it is not a climax. It's only a beginning of what God wants us to do until He comes again and gives us the rewards. You see, the church must produce missionaries. And then the church must provide support for those missionaries. I and missionaries like me, Pastor Arrowood, we owe a debt of gratitude to churches like yours, because we have had the privilege of being in foreign lands. And there is no way I can describe the joy of giving the gospel to someone for the very first time they've ever heard it, and to see them respond, because the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And yes, many will not believe, but some do. And then a church starts to spring up, and nothing Satan can do can stop it. We've got churches all over Japan, Myanmar, Philippines, China. And incidentally, Satan is again trying to stop the churches in China. Brother Ken Lawman, who was there over 33 years and had a super blessed ministry in every way. The police walked into his service on Sunday morning just a few weeks ago and told the people, go home. And then they questioned him for hours and gave him 15 days to leave the country. And they won't let him back in. You see, we must haste our mission high fulfilling. The church then must pray. Pour out thy soul. Every time I preach this message and use this song, I am under deep conviction myself. How long has it been since you have poured out your soul for your missionaries? No wonder we have missionary casualties. We need to pray that God would supply their needs. And they have all kinds of different needs, not just financial needs. And then we need to pray that God would send others to come alongside and work with them. I was asked recently, how many missionaries does BIMI have that are above 60 years old? And my answer was too many. Far too many. They have them that are 70 and 80 and keep on. And one of the reasons is because there is nobody else to help them. We need to create, we need to produce missionaries, and then we need to provide support for those missionaries, and then we need to pray with supplicating hearts for those missionaries on the mission field. And then we need to pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth more missionaries into His harvest. And the way we do that is to begin with saying, "Here am I, Lord, send me."